If you have your Bibles this morning, will you turn with us to the book of Genesis, chapter 30, please, in the book of Genesis. I'd like to begin reading in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 30, a very familiar part of the Lord's Word, and ask you if you would to read with us. In Genesis chapter 30, the first verse says, "And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, Give me children, or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, Am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And she said, Behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. And Jacob did this," and so forth. And then in verse 8, Rachel said, "With great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed." And she called this child's name Naphtali. And this is just a little prayer of a woman that we're told about in verse 1. This woman's name is Rachel. If you look back for a minute to Genesis chapter 29, you'll see that this woman was really a precious woman. You'll see in Genesis chapter 9 that Rachel was beautiful and she was well favored. You'll see in this chapter also the first time Jacob saw her, he removed a stone from the well's mouth, and he kissed Rachel, and he loved her deeply. You'll see in this chapter that he talked with her father, and he was willing to serve 7 years to obtain her hand. In the end of these 7 years, it was required, or Laban told him that he had to marry her sister, Leah. And so he worked another 7 years. And he then was able to marry Rachel, the lady that he really loved. And the scriptures tell us that he served all of these years, and it was just a matter of days in regards to him in order to obtain this woman's hand. And Rachel was a beautiful person, and she was a woman that Jacob loved dearly and deeply and greatly. And now she prays. She can't have any children. Now, I'd like for you to look with me again at Genesis 30 and verse 1 and see the condition of this woman. She sees Jacob, and he goes into Leah, his wife. She bears him Reuben. He goes into her again. She bears him Simeon, then Levi, and then Judah. And Rachel doesn't have any children. So she cries to Jacob. And she says, "Give me children or else I die." And this is a prayer. And it's a prayer in regards to her condition. And if you'll look with me in verse 22 of Genesis chapter 30, you'll see that God answered this prayer. God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her because she prayed to Him and opened her womb. This is a mother's prayer. This woman was deeply troubled, and she prayed with all earnestness that the Lord would give her children. Now then, there are several things that I want you to see in regards to this prayer. This may not seem important to you, but it's really important. It's very important. This was a beautiful woman that Jacob loved dearly, and she couldn't have children. So she prayed. Her sister had children in as often as she desired, I guess. And Leah bore more of the children of Jacob than Rachel did, and Rachel's heart was broken. If you'll look with me for a minute in verse 8 and back in verse 1 and so forth, and we'll just refer to this, I want you to see something about prayer. Prayer's not easy. It's wrestling. It's difficult. And more often than not, as much as Jacob loved Rachel, Jacob was angry with Rachel over this prayer. Others won't understand, and it's trying, it's very difficult, and prayer is really hard. And if you think about praying, you must remember some things that are of great importance. When God answers your prayer, that prayer that you prayed that He has answered could bring into your life great sorrow. And it did with Rachel. And if you'll just hold your hand here for a moment and look with me in Matthew chapter 2. Let me read verse 18 out of Matthew chapter 2 for a moment. Just remember that God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. He answered her prayer. But the answer to that prayer brought her great sorrow. And if you look in Matthew 2, verse 18, you'll see that the Scriptures tell us, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not." Little do we know that sometimes when the Lord answers our prayer, as He did in the case with Rachel, that it opens the door for great sorrow. And there's another point that I want you to see this morning that begins to brighten this picture and begins to show us the importance of this prayer. This was a woman with a deep burden. It was a woman that knew the power of asking the Lord for great things. If you read Genesis chapter 29 and chapter 30, and you see that Leah was the woman who bore most of the children, practically all, Why would God say in Matthew chapter 2:18, Rachel and not Leah? It was Leah who bore the most children. But the Lord didn't say Leah. He said Rachel. Why would He do that? Leah didn't pray. And is it not the Lord's way of telling us that the results that come to pass in our lives, that come to pass because of answers to prayer, that God places greater value on less than He does on more? We don't appreciate that. The world don't appreciate that. It's more to them. But what God brings to pass in our lives as a result of our prayer is of more value, even though it's less, than it is if it's more without prayer. Do you see what I'm saying to you this morning? That God places greater value on less than He does on more if it's a result of our prayer. Think with me for a minute. Think of this little situation of this mother that prayed. Now you see, in Matthew 2:18, Rachel's been dead for a long time, but God remembered her love for her children. And in the paradise of God, was Rachel weeping for her children? Even though she was dead. Oh, but you would say, preacher, he means Israel here. But he didn't say that. And is the lasting quality of genuine prayer not prevalent even though we die? You know, you can't underestimate the value of a sweet mother's prayer for her children. I have a friend that was in the Korean War. And he told me one night when he was flying a mission that the enemy struck his plane, and the pilot told them that they were about to go down over enemy territory. And this friend of mine said, Royce, I prayed, and he wasn't a Christian. He was a rowdy man. And he said, I prayed, God, I'm not one of your children, but my mother is. And I know that my mother's praying for me, and I want you to answer her prayer. And he said, God did. And he got back home safely. And I taught him for a good number of years. And he said, I'm here today because my mom prayed for me. And I want you to see that one of the great things we need in our churches and our lives today is quality praying. Praying that really is a burden to the heart of those who are requesting things from God. We pray ritualistically and routinely, but we don't pray with a burden as Rachel did. And you would say, preacher, I don't know that this is that valuable. This prayer that Rachel prayed saved the entire nation of Israel. You may not appreciate that to begin with, but her prayer saved the entire nation of Israel. And if you'll look back with me for a moment to Genesis chapter 30, I'll bring this to your attention. Look with me in verse 22. God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. Do you know what her son's name was? Joseph. Do you remember when there was a famine in the land and Jacob and all of his children were about to die from starvation? They went to Egypt. And in Egypt, there was this brother that they had sold out to the Ishmaelites, and he had become a great ruler in Egypt. He gave them corn. He saved them. He brought them to live with him. And it was through him that they were all brought together again. That was the result of this woman's prayer. And even though it brought great sorrow to her life, and even though it caused disappointment in many instances, it saved a nation. And let me tell you something that will be even more difficult. And if you'll look with me in Genesis chapter 35, I'd like to call your attention, if you would follow with me in Genesis 35 to verse 16. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed. And remember, she travailed because she had prayed. She travailed, and she had hard labor. It came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. It cost her life. This prayer in Genesis 30 really cost her life. And it will us. When you pray, you must pray for the Father's will to be done, not yours. You must actually lose your life. But preacher, that would be so bad. Wait a minute. Look with me in Genesis 35 in verse 19. Rachel died. What benefit would there be to her death? Where did she die? She died in Bethlehem. And that's one of the reasons that when God Almighty became flesh, He was born in Bethlehem. That out of death comes life. And out of the result of a person praying and losing their life comes a life that cannot be lost and is everlasting through our Lord Jesus Christ. But there is so much more. And I just want to mention a couple of things to you. I want you to look back with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 18. If you look in this verse, you'll see that Rachel is weeping for her children, and she would not be comforted because they are not. But did you know that the Lord rewarded her for this? There is such a tremendous reward for earnest, valuable prayer. And you would say, "Preacher, what is it?" Look back with me to the prophecy that's quoted here in Matthew 2:18 to Jeremiah chapter 31. And in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15, you'll see the prophecy. That Matthew quotes. In verse 15, "Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not." But read on. Matthew doesn't quote the rest of it. In verse 16 he says, "Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border." And you see, in this prophecy in Matthew 2, it looked like King Herod had destroyed all these little boys. But the reason the Lord is telling us about this is to show us that the earnest prayer of a beautiful and well-favored woman is more powerful than all the governments, than all the kingdoms, than all of the human beings that exist on this earth. And God says to this woman, "Your work shall be rewarded, and your children will come again to this land. There is hope in thine end." Do you know what that hope is? And in this morning, with all the trouble in the Middle East, with all the confusion and the disappointments, this prayer will still stand true because it's God's Word. And the people who cause all of the confusion, the leaders who want to make peace, who don't know what they're talking about, it will all come to naught. Just because God has told this woman that her work would be rewarded. And I want to close this morning with just one thought. If you remember that the child that Rachel bore was named Joseph, he too died. He died in Egypt. And can you imagine, while Jacob and his family were in Egypt, how they multiplied? The Egyptian Pharaoh said they were more than the Egyptians were, or they were afraid they were going to be. All of those children that died, all of those people that were born in Egypt, did you know that there was only one who died that said, "When you leave here, take my bones with you." And that one was Joseph. Out of all of those children that were born, while Jacob and his family was in Egypt, Joseph was the only one who said, "Take my bones with you." And in the confusion of Exodus chapter 12 and the Passover and the deliverance of Israel from Egypt, Moses remembered that Joseph said, "Take my bones with you. I don't want to die and be buried in the world. I don't want to die and be buried in the wilderness. I want to enter into the rest that God has promised for His people." And in Hebrews chapter 11, that was faith. By faith, Joseph gave commandment concerning his bones. And he was there to set an example for us as a result of this little woman who was beautiful and well-favored as a result of her prayer. And as a result of her prayer and the birth of this child, Joseph, one day this whole world will enjoy the kingdom rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you pray this prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Think about what you're praying. It's not a ritualistic prayer. It's the burden of the heart of every believer who knows that one day Jesus Christ will come again to rule and reign over this earth. Prayer is difficult. Prayer often opens the door for great sorrow to come into our lives. But this prayer will be rewarded, and it will provide a salvation for the nation of Israel and for this world. And prayer is often to show us the value of less as opposed to the numbers of more. And this is what I wanted to speak to you about this morning. And if you will, stand with me for a moment.